there are many, many halachas of the shofar itself. And we know that it is the established practice that we use a shofar shel ayil, a ram's horn. The halacha also states that the shofar should not be straight, it should be bent. And each one of these has a particular reason. The shofar shel ayil is to make note of the zchus of the akedah. And kofuf, which means bent, is an indication that we, the listeners to the shofar, are supposed to humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu shel olam. That is a very interesting halacha in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Vav. That suppose I have two shofars, a shofar shel ayil, one that comes from the ayil, and one that's from a different min which is kosher for a shofar, but it's bent, but the shofar shel ayil is straight. Which is it preferable to take? Most poskim paskin that we should, the preference should be that we should take the one that's bent. And the rationale for it is that the halacha of a shofar which is bent is a takon of chazal. Whereas the matter of using a shofar shel ayil, a ram's horn, is a very ancient minug, but it's not more than a minug. And therefore, if I have to choose between the two, the din of the Gemara takes precedence. And I think there's a very fascinating limud in that as well. That the schus of the Akedah Yitzchok is an enormous schus. But in a certain regard, it's a passive schus. We don't have to do anything for it. That was already taken care of by Avram and Yitzchok long ago. Whereas kofuf is something that we have to do. The shofar being kofuf, the ikar is not the shofar. The essence of the matter is ourselves. That we should be kofuf, we should humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu shel olam. And that's really something which is active, not passive. It's an active source. And that really is the ikar in the tkiyah shofar, is that we should humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu shel olam. There are many different aspects to shofar, what the inyan of shofar is. A very simple notion of shofar, or a correct notion, but in a very simple sense, is truas melecho. It's recognition of the malchus Hashem. And I've spoken upon other times that the three themes of Rosh Hashanah, of malchias, zechoinus, and shofaris, are ultimately all expressions of malchias. Malchius is Hashem Melech, Shema Yisrael Hashem Malachinu Hashem Echad. Zichreinus is HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Shofet Kol Ha'aretz. And Shofaris is Matan Torah. Atonu Gleisa Ba'anan Koydecha. Gilui Shechino of Matan Torah. The shofars were attendant to the Gilui Shechino. So shofar underscores Truas Melech. And that's the essence of Rosh Hashanah. The essence of Rosh Hashanah is to realize the yachas, the relationship between ourselves and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the Odom, is the Melech, and we are his servants. It's the essence of the entire void of Rosh Hashanah. If we achieve that on Rosh Hashanah, that's what a theme constantly throughout the tefillah. Everything in the tefillah is malchias in Rosh Hashanah. And that's the essence of one aspect of the tshuva, as we've talked about other times. As I found in the writing subsequently of Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, that chet ultimately occurs because we do not properly appreciate the relationship that we should have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And thus, tshuva is to put ourselves back in the proper framework. That is, we are not the ones that run the world. We're not the Ribbono Shel Olam's partners in the world. We are merely the servants of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if we would live with that particular notion, there would be no room for chet. A person would never sin. Problem is that we lose sight of that as we go along in the course of life. And therefore, shofar, the essence of the shofar, is kofof. We should humble ourselves before the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the very notion, in fact, of the shofar, and the very notion of Rosh Hashanah. Found it a fascinating halacha. Among the practices of Rosh Hashanah is, if a bris milah is to take place on Rosh Hashanah, then the halacha is that we have the bris milah prior to Tkiyah Shofar. And the reason for that is that bris milah evokes the bris with Avraham Avinu, where Shofar evokes the Akedas Yitzchak. And which comes first? The Bris of Avram came first. We even have it in the Slichas as well, Zachor Bris Avram Akedas Yitzchak. First is the Bris with Avram Avinu. The Yachas, the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And after that comes the Mesiras Nefesh of Yitzchak. We also have another very interesting minhag. The minhag is that one should attempt to hold the shofar on the right hand side of one's mouth. The reason for that being that normally for most people in the world, tefillah are worn on the left hand. And Kabbalistically, the left hand relates to Midas Adin. The right hand reflects Midas Harachama. And consequently, from Midas Adin, we have a certain protection from the tefillin that we wear constantly. And the shofar is, in fact, to evoke the Midas Harachama for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore it's been mid. How we come to have all the koilis that we have on Rosh Hashanah is a very complicated story. Because the reality is, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that all we have to do is we have to hear 9 koilis. And we yoytze the mitzvah. 9 koilis. Imagine, in less than a minute, the mitzvah would be over for the year. 9 koilis. What are those 9 koilis? So we learn from Sukkim of the Torah that every time there's a truah mentioned, there must be a tekiah preceding it and a tekiah following it. And 3 times we have the lashon of truah found in the Torah. So consequently, Chazal derived from that there are 9 tekiahs, 9 koilis. And that's the entirety of the mitzvah of tekiah shofar. So how do we wind up with this lengthy mitzvah if all we need is 9 koilis? In fact, even in the Gemara, we have halachos. So Shoma test kiyos, teshoy shabayim. He had to hear 9 koilas, and he parceled them out each hour of the day. He heard 1 koil. And by the end of the day, he heard all 9 koilas as yaitzi. So, the first problem, is that we don't know what the term truah means. Truah has 3 different possibilities, and we're not sure exactly which it means. Truah evokes piercing cry. But in what sense that is, which aspect, a groan, a more rapid cry, a combination of both, that's less than clear. So according to the psak that we follow, Rav Avua instituted that we should blow sets of all three. We blow three times the Tkiyah Shvorm through it Tkiyah, three times Tkiyah Shvorm Tkiyah, and three times Tkiyah through it Tkiyah. So if we add all of that together, so we have 12 in the first, 9 in each of the seconds, so now we got up to 30. So after 30 we should be able to go home and end the mitzvah. Chazal instituted another thing, and that is that we blow shofar in what we call Tkiyas de Miyushu, where our pidin, the practice is to stand, but halachically one may sit during the first 30 tkiyas. And one blows again the Kailas de Ma'umut, the second set of 30 tkiyas. We'll come back to why we have that second set. Chazal raised the question that why, in fact, do we blow twice? Why do we blow Tkiyas de Miyushu and Tkiyas de Ma'umut? So Chazal put forth a notion, a very difficult philosophical notion, larveva sotah, to confuse the sotah. Now what does that mean? People are easy to confuse. You do a little flim-flam with people, you can use them, but the sotah wouldn't seem so easy to confuse. Rav Yerushalayim Eifshitz is a very beautiful explanation of what it means larveva sotah. He cites a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in Moed Katan rather, and there's at least one other Gemara in Moed Katan which indicates the same thing that I found, that Tkiyah Shofar surprisingly does not evoke Midas Arachim. Tkiyah Shofar evokes Midas Adin. They put a person in Chayrim, the Gemara says in Moed Katan, the blue Shofar, with the son of putting him into Chayrim, which is Midas Adin, not Midas Arachim. The Gemara reports a case where they wanted to get rid of someone and they blew, I think, hundreds of shofars. So if in Chazal we find that it's associated with Midas Adin, so how do we come to the notion that Chazal tell us that Ola Lokim Besu Hashem Bekol Shofar, that through the Tkiyah Shofar we evoke the Midas Arachim, invoke the Midas Arachim? How is that? So Rav Yerushalayim Eifshitz tells us the following, that if you go to court and the prosecutor has a lengthy brief, so how do you get rid of the prosecutor? There's only one way to get rid of him, and that is one takes a plea before the judge. So once you plead, so that's it, the prosecutor can go home, there's nothing more to say. So we said that's what happens when it comes to Tkiyah Shofar. It's Midas Adin. When we kabul the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we tell the Rabbeinu Shalom, in effect, Hashamnu, you have us. So with that, the Sot no longer has anything to say. Now we're left to the Rabbeinu Shalom's mercy. And since we humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shalom to accept his Mishpat, therefore we're Zeichet to Midas Arachma. But it's through accepting the din of the Rabbeinu Shalom. This is the kind of notion Rav Yerushalayim Eifshitz tells us of La'arvei Masotin, to confuse the Sotin. So we get rid of the Sotin, push him aside. It's nothing to say. So we now have 60. So, but the question remains, why don't we just blow 30 tekiyas at the beginning? Why don't we have 30 tekiyas in the middle for? Why don't we need tekiyas twice for? So I know why we just don't have the second set of tkiyas, but why don't we just have the first set of tkiyas? So apparently, and it's really spelled out by the Ramban in the Drosh and Rosh Hashanah, and it's indicated by the Rosh as well. The Rosh in one place in Shas writes that Ikra tkiyas, which are the principal tkiyas, the tkiyas together with the brachas, not tkiyas which we have right at the beginning of blowing the shofar, but rather the ones that are together with the malchus, the chonis, and shofars. And the point, and I think the Ramban spells this out very clearly in the Drosh on Rosh Hashanah, that the brachos were instituted to be together with the tkiyas. And even in the house of bris, they consider tkiyas a chelik of the tefillah. at a classified tkiyas, it's a form of tefillah before the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's part and parcel of the tefillah. And the brachas then are supposed to be together in conjunction with the tkiyas. So before we come to the crucial point in the tkiyas, are the tkiyas that are with the brachas. But we chose that before we get to the tefillas, we want that tefillas to be accepted, and we want the tkiyas to be accepted, and we want the sultan out of the way. So first we start blowing the shofar, we'll kabbal the din of the Rabbeinu Shalom. After that's completed, then we start the tefillas, and the tkiyas to go with the tefillas. So thus, although on one hand, that we fulfilled the mitzvah in Torah as soon as we started to blow shofar, the first 30 tkiyas, we went home and we ate to the mitzvah. But the primary tkiyas of Rosh Hashanah are the second 30. Because the brachos were made, they were enacted to go hand in hand with the tkiyas. And the implication of that, that's what the Rosh means, when it says ikra tkiyas, means, suppose I have to choose, I can only hear one set. Either I can hear the set that's before the Shemoneh Esrei, or the set, and let's say Nusach Ashkenaz, with the Chazaras Hashas, which one should I choose? Then I should choose the ones which go together with the Chazaras Hashas. That's what comes out. That's the significance of whatever the Rosh means by Ikrat Kis. The mitzvah of the Raisa was fulfilled, but the Rochos themselves are supposed to go hand in hand with the Kis. So now we arrive at 60. Not yet. So where did we get beyond 60? And the truth is, not everyone got beyond 60. In the Mechaber, that's brought from the Ga'inim, at the end of the davening, they used to blow a truah. A truah gdoila, they blew at the end of davening. And with that, they ended. With that, they ended the tkiyas shofar. Now that's not our practice. We Ashkenazim, I don't know what the Sfarim do nowadays, but we Ashkenazim did not have such a practice to actually blow a key at the end of the davening. Chosav Rav Amram la'achar tefillah v'ri and truah g'dayla, blow tekiyah. A truah without any tekiyahs, k'dei la'arvei v'asotam. It's hard on exactly to know what he wants. He said, what? A lengthier one. It's a longer truah. Apparently some had to show that even though we davening is over, but we're still being Oyvid Hashem. And they bring a member from the Gemara of Haigon brings, which says the following, that B'chisayim shatz tkiyoso. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that when the Shliach Tzibur, meaning the Baal Tokeya, finished blowing the shofar, B'yavne, lo shoma inish udnei, a person, he couldn't hear anyone talk. Afterwards, we called tkiyoso. From the code of all the tkiyas that were taking place after the Baal Tokeya finished. Lamadnu, the Torah tells us, Shayechidim ayiragilim niskaya achar atvilo. That the tzaddikim used to keep on blowing shofar afterwards as well. It's not necessary. Because the mitzvah has been fulfilled. Some suggest that this is tied to the fact that since Klal Yisrael went to eat and drink, so others wanted to show, in fact, that we were not Mesiach Das. We did not forget about the fact that this is Yom HaDin. So they continued to be Oisik in Tkiyas Shofar for the rest of the day. So this is evoked, this minute, by, at least after they wrote, after we finished the mitzvah, in effect we're saying we're not departing from the mitzvah. We still want to schlep them, drag the mitzvah out. We don't want to go away. We're not forgetting the fact that this is a Yom HaDin. It's not the Ashkenazic practice. Now, what is the Ashkenazic practice? That's very interesting. The Ramo writes, brings him a sefer called Minhogen, which is probably from the 14th century approximately, and wherein it's recorded that after the Shemoneh Esrei, they blew another 30 kolos, 90. But they do not give us any indication what the basis of this is. Elamai, it could very well be that this is the same din as the Sfarim with the Mechaber with the Truah G'dayla, So the Ashkenazic practice was to blow 30 extra tkiyas to show us that we're still being Isaac in the mitzvah even though the davening is finished. And the Ramah writes that this was the practice wherever he went. In the Ramah's world, wherever he spent Rosh Hashanah his entire life and whatever he heard of, 90 koilas was it, finished. Where do we get 100 from? 100 comes from the Shlomo. Shlomo wrote that we try to have 100 koilas to take note of the fact that Chazal tell us, we'll come to this back to this in a moment, that when Sisera went to battle and the Novi tells us that his mother was concerned for him, why is this chariot not returned from battle? And he was, in fact, he was killed by Yoel. That's why he didn't return from battle. So finally, when she learned of his death, she cried 100 cries. Now the question is, she is not exactly a pious figure who's chus akedas Yitzchak Bris Avraham that we want to have on Rosh Hashanah. The Imoshel Sisera, what does it tell us? What does the Novi tell us about her? That how was she comforted when her son didn't return from battle at the hour that she expected? So her neighbors came and told her, listen, your son, he's very busy now. He's busy pillaging, abusing women. He doesn't have time to come home from the battle yet. You know, imagine, you know, someone came to give you an achamah that this is what your son is up to. You tell me this is worse than what I thought of before. Halavai, the first one would be true. That's what he's doing. This was the achamah that they gave him. It's before Rosh Hashanah. So she was not exactly a very pious figure, to put it very mildly. So why do we mention, what does the Shlomo want with the 100 koilas of the mother of Sisera? So I always thought that the pshat is, and this is really consistent with what the notion of the Yavetz, that the koilas touch really Midas Adin directly, not Midas Arachman. Midas Arachman only indirectly. That what we want to do is to note the fact that when Midas Adin afflicts a person, so in the Tanakh it's recorded, in Chazal it's recorded that a person cried out 100 times in response to the Midas Adin. And that's the notion that we have. If that's the response that a person has to the Midas Adin, so we feel threatened, obviously, and Rosh Hashanah is a time of Din, or Yom Kippur is a time of Rachamim. And therefore we also cry out to the Rebbe Hashanah 100 times. An acknowledgement of the fact that Midas Adin is the prevailing need of Rosh Hashanah. So it's not really, we don't wish to be associated with the mother of Sisera. Far from it. But rather, there we find recorded in Chazal in the response to Midas Adin. So that's how we went from 9 tkiyas, all we needed was 9, and we wound up all the way with 100. So now, because of that, we need a Baal Tekeya that's really ready, you know, for the grind, to be able to keep punching them out. And if we only had 9, we could have a lot of Baal Tekeya. It would not be very difficult. But for 100, you need someone that's really professional, yeah.
You don't really have 100,
though. We have 95, but... My dear Ronnie Schlanger, in this synagogue we have 100.
Yes.
That was the Ramah. And we do, so the rest, according to the Shlaw, do you do another 10 besides? So I do, no. According to what they do, what happens, there's no agreed upon place where the last 10 have to be done. So some people do 30 before Kaddish Tiskabel, because as I mentioned to you, the Tekiyas in the world of Brisk are a part of the Tefillah, and therefore before we say Tiskabel Tzloisim, we finish the 90 Tekiyas. Now some tucked in the other 10 there, the end of Davening, Bereshis Hayoyim, whatever, etc., 10 more. I was not a fan of that particular practice, because I just felt it lent itself to a lot of Tircha Ritzibura and whatever people talked, because they didn't realize the Kiyas weren't finished. So therefore, I preferred to follow the practice of putting all 40 before Tiskabu. And that's also, it's better that way. If you're blowing Tkiyas, then they ought to be, and these, even the extra Tkiyas, the last 30, are certainly not Mitzara Din. It's not a Takana of Chazal. So if that's the case, I prefer really to put all 40 before Tiskabu, for that reason. So we in fact have 40. I do four lines of each. So I have 16, 12, and 12. And according to my calculator, 16, 12, and 12 equals 40. Okay, listen. Whatever. Listen, I can't. I just know what we do, our practice. No. So that's how we get all the way up until 100. Now, what is our practice? We don't have a true Gdolah. We have Tkiyas Gedolos. Tkiyas Gedolos by us is really of a different notion. And that's really stems from the world of music. When one finishes a musical piece, a lot of times you end with a long note. So therefore, the Tkiyas Gedolos really just denotes that we finished a section of the Tkiyas Shofar. And that's all it is. It just merely indicates that a Seder is finished. So it has no significance in the halacha in and of itself. You don't have to have it, even if it came out on the shorter side, it would also be fine. It's merely a signal that a seder has been finished. Now, there is one halacha ramification of Tkiyas Gedolos, and that is, the halacha is that one has to hear the entire kol shofar, meaning each particular blast of the shofar has to be heard from the beginning until the end. Now, suppose the Baal Tokeya blows a coal which is three times the requisite size. Doesn't want to stop. And three quarters of the way through, I stop listening. And I don't hear the last part, I'm not Yotze. I have to hear the entire coal. Even if the coal is overly long, I still have to hear the entire coal. So therefore it's very important when there is when there are longer kailas, like the Tkiyas Gedolos, to actually make sure that we listen all the way until the end. When we say listening to Tkiyas Shofar, we don't merely mean the fact that the auditory nerves were stimulated. You know, the auditory nerves can be stimulated and I can have no cognitive experience of having even heard it. A person is involved and is concentrating, you can talk to him. It's obviously in the ear, the inner ear reacted, but nothing when it didn't go to the brain. He did whatever, the person who was cognitively, he didn't take note of it. That's not the Shmoya Kol Shofar. Now, it's very interesting that somewhere on the trip from the Gemara to the Halacha, funny things happen along the way. And Halacha L'maisa is a very, very strange, in a certain regard, a very unusual and strange discipline. Because it has sudden turns and lurches which are not always, one cannot always anticipate so simply at the beginning of the process. But the Halacha L'maisa has certain considerations which push it in certain directions. And over time they become embodied fully into the Halacha, and as such, we don't even realize how much the halacha has been moved in a particular direction by certain factors, which in and of themselves are not overly compelling factors, but they've been accepted by Klal Yisrael as how in fact to be mekayim this mitzvah. Now, we have a common practice, which is in the Shulchan Aruch, that one should not speak until after the tekiyas are finished. Now, it has served us very well, this practice, I have to tell you. A certain practice, why? The Emas HaDin of Rosh Hashanah, the awe of the Yom Noron, lends itself to a more careful practice of things that we should do throughout the entire year. And consequently, the cover of the Beis HaKnesses on Rosh Hashanah, because of the fact of the Tekiyas Shofar, there's no parallel throughout the entire year. There's not a sound in the Beis HaKnesses throughout. Now, what's the basis for this in Mitzar HaDin? The basis really has nothing to do in and of itself with the Mekayim Mitzvah Tekiyas Shofar. And that if a person spoke at any time, well, just about at any time, I should say, we'll see the one exception, during the process of the Tekiyas Shofar, as long as he didn't actually speak when the shofar was being blown, the person would be yotzei the mitzvah, no matter how much he spoke. I don't know how much of a schus he would have in Shemayim, that on Rosh Hashanah he has nothing else to do with himself except to speak in shul. That's basic, it's a different problem. But he would be yotzei the mitzvah. So what is this whole practice that we have that we don't speak during the Tekiyas? This stems from the fact that my mitzvah, which has various stages to it, and I made a bracha on the mitzvah, so some Rishonim argue that we should not make a hefzik until the mitzvah is finished. And therefore I made a bracha, and I'm still in the process of doing the mitzvah, and therefore I should not be mafzik, I should not speak in the middle. And there's some issue, what this issue also comes up, what happens if a sheikh is shechting any number of animals, is he let us eat? May he speak in between? Shouldn't he speak in between? By bedikas chametz. Now, many poskim, in fact, challenged this statement of halacha, because for a very simple reason. He said, what happens? He said, if this would be true, then what would happen if I ate a hamotzi at a meal and I ate a piece of challah? Am I allowed to talk for the rest of the meal? The hamotzi, in fact, has to be the bracha which covers everything in the entire meal. So how can I be mafsa? So that's their question, and it's a very compelling question without a simple answer to it. I mean, I have an answer, but it's not for now. But there's no simple answer to the question. So therefore, really, the overwhelming halachic weight is really not in consonance with this practice. But nevertheless, perhaps because it was Yom Noron, this is the practice which became accepted and incorporated into the Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, the fact of not being mafsik is merely so that the bracha should be 100% perfect vis-a-vis the mitzvah. Nothing to do with the mitzvah itself. It's really more a din of the bracha than the mitzvah itself.
So then one is permitted to say bracha of Rosh
Hashanah? Yeah, sure. One. The one would be is permitted anyhow to say bracha of Rosh Hashanah. Because anything, any of the tefillahs, are not considered a hefzik. Now obviously, we have a lot of things that we mispalel on Rosh Hashanah, which are not just the brachos themselves. All the piyut that we say, which underscores the union of malchus, that cannot be of lesser significance, I'm rather of greater significance, than saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. That's something else. That's within the bracha itself, that I want to be yotze with that bracha for a mitzvah. When I mean yotze with the bracha, I shouldn't say baruch hu baruch shem. On the bracha itself, it's true. On the bracha of tekiyas shofar. But we're referring to, suppose the chazan wants to say baruch atah Hashem ha-melech ha-kodesh. Ha-melech ha-kodesh. Can I say baruch hu baruch shemo there? That I said that can't be less significant than the piyut that we recite than the v'chol aminim.
Because during
that's something else, because we're not allowed to be mafsik. That's a different thing. Because we're involved in one thing, but here the whole point is all tefillahs are mutter. Tefillahs are not considered a hefsik. I mean, I couldn't recite Shemoneh Esrei in the middle of Pesukah Dezumra either. You know, everything has its time and place.
So
I couldn't.
The person went to the bathroom, you could say, so.
That's interesting. That the truth of the matter is, this is debated. Some posts can say that one shouldn't say it. And others argue that it's a tefillah, and a tefillah is not a hefsek. And my inclination, it's interesting, is probably like the latter view. For the same reason that I just told you. That if we would limit ourselves just to the actual brachos, the malchus, the chonos, and shofaros, mamela. But we don't do that. So all the piyut that we recite. So what's that? Tzarech, tefillah sayayim, whatever, it's a minute. So why should Asher Yotzer be different? But again, if you want to know, in the world they debate this subject. But I think the pashtus is that you could recite it. Now, where does one particularly have to be careful concerning hefsek? So the most important point is in between the time that the Baal Tokeah recites the Brocha L'Shmoel Kol Shofar and the beginning of Tkiyah Shofar. If one talked at that point, then one blew out the Brocha. It's the same if I make a Bar Priyayitz and I don't take a bite of the apple and I talk, so that's it. That you just get the bracha where I scotch the bracha. I would still be yaitzer the mitzvah. We paskin, the more paskins and brachas, that brachas ain't in makfas. The mitzvah is a mitzvah, and the brachas are the brachas. So even if I lost the bracha, I still became the mekayim the mitzvah. I can make his own bracha. Now, as long as he doesn't make it during the actual, when the chazan is actually blown. Now, very interestingly, The Derech HaChaim is the Nesibus. And in his Siddur he writes that during the first 30 Tekiyas, till the completion of the Tekiyas, the Miyushav, one should not even make a Hefsek with Tefillah during that time. Because in other words, the Brocha he learns is, this is the full-fledged Mitzvah now, and we don't know that we were Yoytze the Mitzvah until we finish the first 30, so we should make absolutely no Hefsek. Now this parallels a little bit, it's very interesting that the same issue in some measure we have by the Seder. By the Seder, in our Haggadah we have Matzah, then we have Mar, and in our the printed Haggadahs it says that one should say Zechel LeMikdash Kehillel and then eat the Kerach. And the Chofetz Chaim writes in the Halachas of the Seder that his inclination, he says he's not sure, Lula de Mistapina, he writes, but he says his inclination is that one should eat the Kairach and recite the Zechel and Midrash Kehillel after the Kairach. Why? Because the Brocha goes on the Kairach too. The Brochas of Matz and Mar include the Kairach. So therefore, why should we say the Zechel and Midrash? It's really unnecessary to say it before. So we might as well say it afterwards. What? But it's from the Din of the Gemara. It's from the Din of the Gemara. So good. So therefore, So the brocha should, in fact, the brocha is associated with that too, with that, because that's a form of doing the mitzvah. So the brocha should, right? The brocha, right? We should not speak, right? That's something else. That's Torah HaMitzvah. That's something else. That's Torah HaMitzvah. That's a different thing. So here, so the principal minig, at least the minig among, in the Lithuanian Kehillahs emerged that during the first 30 Tekiyahs we do not recite the Hirotzins in between each set. We wait until the completion of the first 30 and then we do one Hirotzin on all of them together. There are in other Kehillahs, in fact, that recite the Hirotzin after each set. And this practice is defended by the Yaivitz. And therefore those Kehillahs that have that minute have their basis in Halacha as well. But it's not our practice. Our practice is not to be mafsik even with Tefillah until after the completion of the first 30 Tekiyahs. Now we're talking this, so we have Hefsek, which takes place in between the Brocha and the Tekiyah, which, that's a deadly Hefsek. We have Hefsek, which takes place with Tefillah, which is just really inappropriate, but it wouldn't doom the Mitzvah. And then we have finally a Hefsek, which is the Tzorech HaMitzvah, which is that I have to talk to the Baal Tekeah about what we're trying to do, what we did right, what we did wrong, and what we want to do. to make sure everything goes smoothly. So those things, the makri, those things are tzorech, tzorech ha-tkiyah. And we even, our practice even is, that's a whole debate if that's necessary or not, is even on the very first, on the first tkiyah, we also have the makri. And that's a question if that's really necessary or not. It stems from a parallel to the bircha, to the birchas kohanim, which is emor lahem. And so we know there's a din that the chazan is supposed to lead the kohanim word by word, yivorechecha, etc. And there is a debate if one needs the first yivorechecha or not. Or they make the bracha, they say yivorechecha, and then the chazan starts chanting in Hashem, yishmorecha, etc. And this parallels that. So there are those that say, in fact, that he should start from Shvam Truah. The first key he should do on his own. But our practice is not that way. Our practice is that the Makri calls even for the first key. So here we have a clear-cut hefsek. I'm always mafsek in between the brocha and the tekiyas. Always. And that's because it's tzorech ha-tefillah. If it's tzorech, I mean tzorech ha-mitzvah. If it's tzorech ha-mitzvah, that's not, never a hefsek. Something which is tzorech ha-mitzvah.
In every shul I've been to, the rub is not happy with the way the guy
grew.
They always use sign
language. I don't need sign language. It's not, you don't need to. Not at all. Speak directly.
Will these halachos necessarily apply to women as well?
Well, do they apply to women? If they want to be yoytze the mitzvah, and, you know, they're not mechuyev in the mitzvah altogether. But if they want to be yoytze the mitzvah with the bracha, then the chayra, that should apply to them the same way. You know, because they want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah in a similar fashion. Now, I don't believe that there's... Tkiyah Shofar is in and of itself not obligatory for women. I'm talking obligatory, because it's Mitzvah Shazman Rom, it's a time-limited Mitzvah. Nevertheless, the practice in our communities for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, without doubt, or longer than that, is that the women are full participants in Tkiyah Shofar. But I don't believe that they have any obligation, they certainly don't have an obligation to hear all 100 tkiyahs. That's certainly not. Because we don't even have an obligation to hear all 100. It's a minute by only. And we can't say that the women ever accepted upon themselves such a minute. Yeah. So, it's not obligatory. And in fact, the Bach says that just as the Gemara Rosh Hashanah said that in Yavne you couldn't hear anyone talk the rest of the day of Rosh Hashanah because of the Baal Tokeya, and Rav Haigon said this is not a din, but rather an oisim kein an iku v'dover. So the Bach says similarly, ein zechiyav ein iku v'dover. If you don't have the 100 kolos mamela, it's nothing. And it's, in other words, not a chiyav. It's not in the sense that it's a chiyuv as a minhag even to have as a chiyuv to have 100. The Bach learns. But maybe if there are 100, there are 100. If they're not 100, they're not 100. It's not even a chiyuv. It's something that we do, but it's not a chiyuv, not even a chiyuv mitzad minhag, I believe, according to the Bach, and that's in Siman Tov Kuf Tzadik Vav. So certainly the women have certainly no need to hear 100 kolos. That they certainly don't have to. Normally, women suffice. We're talking women that have young children that they care of. The minhag of a kubal that's leino is they manage to hear 30 kailas and that's it. They don't need more than that. I mean, people that no longer to have women that no longer have that responsibility. So mistaver, they should attempt to hear at least 60 kailas at least. You know, I don't need the chiyuv to do more than that, but the first 60 certainly, which are mitzad din of the gemara, and the women want to be mekayim the mitzvah in the fullest sense. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is 60 kailas. So a woman that no longer has the responsibility for young children and has the opportunity to be in the basic classes, and that's bestowed a common practice. Women of that age particularly stay in there all 60 colors, if not more. But mitzad, we can't even articulate a minig though for women of more than 30. Because remember, this is not a chiyuv. This is something that women have opted themselves because of their own piety to accept upon themselves throughout Jewish history. And that it's not the dinner of the Gemara. 30 suffices for that. There's no need for more than that. See, again, if they had the opportunity to hear the 30 Aseder HaBrochus, so we said that's preferable, though 30 Aseder HaBrochus is preferable to the 30 which come before. If you wanted to pick one set of 30. But usually, if you're in that situation, you're a lot better off with the first 30 than with the 30 I'll say there are brachas. Because with the first 30, in 5 minutes, you yaitse the mitzvah. And if you need the 30 I'll say there are brachas, and you have a responsibility to take care of children, so you're not necessarily, you do not necessarily know that you're going to make it back if Malchi is a chernus and shayfus in an undisturbed fashion. 5 minutes, you might be zeicher the 5 minutes of silence. What?
Avada,
we don't blow more than 30 for a person at home.
Amen,
even for men. A man that couldn't come to shul, go to his house, we blow 30 kailas, and that's it. That's all we blow. Now, because of the fact that the one thing that one has to be very careful about, and when one would actually not be yoytzeh to the mitzvah, is if one talked even in between the shvarim and the tshuva, let's say in the second 30 tkiyas to ma'umid, so according to the practice that we follow in this Beis HaKnesses, the Baal Tokeya blows with two breaths. So there's a slight pause in between the shvarim and the tshuva. Now if one would talk during that time, and even if that talking would be in other words, suppose I didn't like something about the shvarim or whatever it is, and I wanted to tell him to make sure to make the trua long. The last trua wasn't, was borderline. Make this trua longer. So after the shvarim, I would quickly tell him a long trua, and I heard the entire trua. I didn't miss any part of it, but I'm not yaitze. Since that's one koil, and I spoke in the middle of a koil, then I'm not yaitze. And then I the brachas is not a problem. I would actually go back and hear that shvarim trua a second time. I think I've covered a number of interesting halachas from the matters of Tkiyas Shofar. And we have to hope before the Rebbeinu Shleilam that his makabel of Tkiyas Tfilas is b'sei barachamim v'rosim.